What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. By the way, what kind of a monster does not zip back up the Ziploc on like the bag of treats in the break room? I didn't eat any of the treats. I saw those like three bags. You know what I'm talking about? Like they got the plastic bags with the Ziploc thing. So you reseal it, you know, you eat a couple of the pretzels and then you reseal it. And I walk in there to get my coffee. And by the way, here's a life hack for you. Pro tip, if you will. When you're using the Keurig machine at the office, and you got one of the reservoir, you know, you got to fill the water in the back. And you never know if somebody has run the thing out on you, right? You never know. And so if you pop in that K-cup and you pull down the brew head and it punctures the K-cup and then you hit brew and it's like, no water. You're like, gah, because now you puncture the K-cup. And then you got to fill it up. And then what does the Keurig machine tell you to do? Insert a pod. It's like, damn it, Keurig, I already have the K-cup in the brew head. It's already sitting right there. So here's my life hack. Open the brew head and close it before you put the K-cup in. Uh-huh. See that? Isn't that brilliant? Here's another one. When you're using the restroom at the office and it's got one of those automatic or anywhere where there's an automatic paper towel dispenser, you wave your hand in front of it, you know? You do that before you use the restroom. You walk in and you wave your hand over it. It pushes out the paper towel. So now it's ready for you. So then you don't have the wet hands waving all around, flinging all the water. Have you seen the door? Have you seen the inside of that door?
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Over 20 years, I remember when they redid that bathroom. It was like 20 years ago. And they put in this really nice, you know, dark wood trim and a wood door and all of this. And now, after 20 years of people washing their hands and then turning around to hit the paper towel dispenser and waving their hand at it, you got little water, you know, flinging little droplets of water all over the wood trim.
Looks like a Pollock painting of some kind.
Right, and now it's all speckly and polka-dotted and all this stuff. So I walk in and I wave my hand over the dispenser. Now it's coming out. I wash my hands after, and then I do the 12 shake, you know? You shake your hands 12 times, one for each apostle, and it gets all the water off, and then you get, and then one towel. All you need is one paper towel. That's it. Life hacks from Pete. Okay. David, welcome to the program. Hello, David.
Hello, Pete. How you doing, buddy?
All right, man. Can you do me a favor, turn down the radio? Or is that your phone doing that back?
That's my phone. I don't know what's going on with it. It acts like it's on speaker, but it's not. I've been playing with it.
Yeah. Oh, I hear myself.
I got a different spin on Biden pardoning his son.
Yeah.
What if he gets jail time and it's not a lot, say a year?
Okay.
And Trump wins. And Trump's already said he's going to pardon the January 6th folks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would happen if, you know, Trump's given an interview and he's telling folks, yeah, this stack of papers here, I'm fulfilling a promise. I'm going to go ahead and pardon the January 6th people, but I've got one more pardon here that I'm going to issue that some of my supporters may have a problem with, and that is, I am going to pardon Hunter Biden, the president's son, as a show of there's no hard feelings, that we all know that the president, you know, is declining mental acuities. And I think just to show that there's no hard feelings, that the right thing to do is to pardon his son with the understanding that he gets counseling and treatment for his, you know, drug addiction.
Sure.
But I'm going to go ahead and pardon him so he can spend as much time with his only remaining son. But what do you think the left would do?
First off, I don't know if Donald Trump would do that. That is a really magnanimous position or thing, rather, that Donald Trump would do, first of all. Second of all, he might. He didn't pursue Hillary Clinton. Well, not in that way, just legally. But I don't know if he did the other way either. I'm just saying he did not. He didn't lock her up, right? He didn't go after her. But what with Hunter Biden's pardon, that's not something he could promise ahead of time. He could definitely not tell people ahead of time because his supporters would be irate at that, just like he didn't tell his supporters that he would not lock her up, right? He promised he would, and then he didn't.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost him anything, though. He has nothing to lose and everything to gain. But he's not having to worry about re-election.
Do you think the left would appreciate it?
He's going to be catching flack for the January 6th pardons. You throw that one more in there, and it'll be interesting to see the whole dynamic of the story changes from, oh, he pardoned all these terrorists, to, oh, he pardoned the former president's own son. Why? Wow, wasn't that a great thing that he did?
No, I don't, really? David, come on now. Do you really think that that's the way the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, would react to that?
Well, it would make it interesting.
Which
way they go with it.
Yeah, all right. Dave, I appreciate the call. No, that is, it would make it interesting, no doubt about that. I don't think that the media would react like that. I don't think the left would react like that. I think they would say, this is just a cheap ploy to distract everybody. And fine, it's good that Hunter, you know, is going to be pardoned and he can spend time with his dad and all of that. And dad can spend time with him, whatever. But no, he would get no halo effect, as they call it in the marketing industry. No halo effect for the bad orange man. Sorry. It's not how that works. Russ says, two comments I saw on Hunter. One, they have him on video weighing and using crack with underage hookers and dragging a woman by her hair, but they went for the gun charge. Really? Yeah. Number two, you've got a guy who's been trying to self-destruct for most of his life, but people around him keep covering up or fixing things, not because they love him or to help him, but only to protect his dad. Yeah, I mean, that's people think they want to be famous. And there's a lot of stuff that you don't know until you get famous. Stuff that you used to be able to do that you no longer get to do. And I remember watching, there was a, Christy and I were watching a documentary about these influencers. I forget what it was called. I think it was on Netflix or something. But one of these guys who's got, you know, millions of followers or whatever, and his whole thing is like he goes all around the country partying with people, going to nightclubs and drinking way too much alcohol, and he's killing himself, and he knows it. He knows he's killing himself, but he can't stop because then the clicks stop, the views stop, and that's what pays his bills. That's what makes him relevant. That's his purpose. He has no purpose except to make a buffoon of himself. It's such a sad existence, you know? People get so famous, they can't even go out to eat. Like me, you know, like I can't. No, people do. People get so famous, they can't even leave their home. That's why they have these massive compounds, these massive mansions. Like, you better have a big house because you can't ever leave it. You better have different rooms that look like different places that you would like to go because you ain't going anymore. Unless you're Taylor Swift with your own plane. Couple of messages here. This is from Stanley regarding my Keurig hack, my life hack. These are the essential life hacks. I'm only the essential life hacks. That's what I give you. Pete, you could just use a French press for your coffee and those problems and grab the paper towel with your hands. Sometimes old school, this is better. Okay. Stanley, I'm not clear about your hacks here. First off, I'm a fan of the French press. I do. Le Monde, love that newspaper. I used to drink French press coffee a bunch when I was up in Asheville and I had a little office up there. And so I kept a French press little pot there because the coffee maker was just nasty. So I didn't want any part of that thing. So I got a little French press and love French press coffee. Here's the problem. Cleaning it is the worst. It is the worst because you get this pot with all the coffee grinds at the very bottom in this like cake thick substance, whatever. And you try to shake it out. You know, you're trying to get it all out of the pot. You got to like dig in there and scrape it all out because, you know, otherwise you're washing this stuff down the drain. That creates cloggage, you know. So love the French press, but I eventually abandoned it because, again, is the juice worth a squeeze? No. No, I'm perfectly satisfied, you know, with the Mr. Coffee pot. Here's the key, though. I don't use the paper filters. You got to use the mesh filters because you get all the oils. That's the French press's secret, too. You get all the oils from the grinds that come through in the coffee, and that's the stuff right there. It's where they keep the heroin. I don't know about the paper towel thing with the hands. You just got to wave wave the hand there. And sometimes, well, always, never touch the handle on the sink. Never touch it after you've washed your hands. Don't like push it down or whatever. Like if you can get it, like you take that paper towel and then you turn the faucet off using the paper towel as a buffer, as a mitt. Because think about it, right? People use the bathroom, and then what's the first thing they touch? The sink faucet. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So never touch it afterwards. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? A couple of tweets here. You can tweet at me, at Pete Kaliner, all one word. The at sign, Pete Kaliner. That's K-A-L-I-N-E-R. At Patriot Girl says, Dementia Joe will not willingly drop out for anything. They may write that script and take him out, but he's not going to do it for Hunter or anyone else. Don't know if that's true. We shall see. At some point, I don't think he's even able to make that call. At the rate of decline I've been watching, I'm not sure he's going to be in a position to call any shots pretty soon. Jeff says, Hunter should get five years probation, community service, and drug testing. And Joe says there's no way, pardon that bleep. Joe Biden cannot drop out before the convention, says Scott, because the Dem voters will decide his replacement, and the protectors of democracy cannot let the voters decide. After he is the official nominee, he will then drop out. Democrat Party leaders, not voters, will then name his replacement. Right. That is the, I will follow you back, Scott. That is one way this could play out. And again, that's going to depend on whether Biden decides to do it or he is incapable of making that decision and the people around him make it for him. I don't know. That is one way this could go. Lock in the GOP nominee as Trump, convicted felon Trump, and then ditch your guy for somebody else, right? If Kamala Harris wasn't awful, I suspect the conversation would be a little bit different at this point, right? If Kamala Harris was a really good campaigner, a candidate, right? She had like the chops to be president. I think there would be a lot more pressure on Biden to step aside, but she is so terrible that nobody really wants her either. I think actually fewer people want her than Joe Biden. So That's the problem that the Democrats are facing. But yeah, I mean, that's the you got Trump getting sentenced in July, I believe, a couple of days or like a week or two before the GOP convention, I want to say. He's still got a bunch of the other trials, although I guess the one in Georgia is not probably going to happen for him before the election. Hunter Biden sentencing, probably going to happen before the election. He's still got that other trial going on. If Joe Biden is not the nominee, if they replace him after the convention, then he may be on a limited clock, or his whoever succeeds him, they may give Hunter a pardon. I don't know. There are a lot of different ways this could go when you don't care about the norms, right? Meanwhile, in what the website Reddit is, R-E-D-D-I-T, Reddit. It's a like a group chat forum kind of thing, and people go there and they have all sorts of like different topics, I mean, like on everything. Reddit's got a topic on everything. And Dan Diamond, who is, let me see if he's anybody. He's a Washington Post reporter. He found on the Washington, D.C. Reddit page. So this is these are the important questions that people in Washington, D.C. are talking about. Ursula Winchester posted this story. If the city's statues came to life, who would win in a fight? Obviously, she says, Lincoln, Jefferson, and MLK have a size advantage. I mean, obviously. However, could Lincoln and Jefferson squeeze themselves through their respective columns to break free? And MLK's unfinished legs are hugely symbolic, but a major hindrance in battle. There are a number of statues on horseback, but many of them don't even have weapons, in which case they'd have a speed advantage and be able to retreat and position themselves in a beneficial location, but they wouldn't really be able to capitalize on that. Assume that the soldiers at the Korean Memorial and Korean War Memorial and the Union Station are organized units, right? The Korean War Memorial, they've got more modern weaponry, but the Union Station statue, they start further away from the competition of them all. Jimmy Buchanan also has this particular edge, being kind of farther away. That's what they're discussing. And then there's this this entire thread, and I think there's a statue near RFK Stadium that's 20 feet tall. It's of a naked woman, like silver, like a stainless steel kind of image, but she's breathing fire. And that seems pretty important. The lions at Taft Bridge, right? There's like really large lions. That's a problem. And then there's also a hippo at George Washington University. But it seems like a smaller kind of a hippo. But hippos, people don't realize hippos are very dangerous. But I believe there's one. Where is it here? Oh, we got Transformers. We got Einstein. But I think there's a fighter jet someplace. And I think that would probably win, right? I think the fighter jet statue would win if it came to life. Because even if it's small, which I don't think it is, it's got air superiority. And you can win wars with that. So I'm going with the fighter jet. Anyway, that's on the Reddit in Washington, D.C. That's the stuff they're talking about today. Joe Biden is apparently expected to speak to the gun controlling group, Everytown USA, for some anti-gun remarks just hours after his son was convicted on 3 gun charges. So there's that. Earlier, I went over some of my personal essential life hacks. Couple of them were mixed in there too, like the shaking your hands when you wash your hands after, then your hands are all wet, and it takes you like 6 or 7 paper towels to dry them off. If you just shake them, like kind of fling the water back into the sink 12 times, and then you only need like 1 paper towel. It's super easy. Here's a couple of other hacks. These come from Tammy Barr. no relationship to Roseanne, as far as I know. She says she worked on cruise liners for 3 years. And she wrote at the New York Post on some of the six things that she would never do on board a cruise. Now, I have never been on a cruise, so I cannot confirm or deny these things. I cannot attest or affirm them, okay? Here they are, though. Never shell out for the dining upgrade. Don't pay for the dining upgrade or drink package. Number two, don't touch certain surfaces with bare hands. And I think by that she means all of them. No. Wearing a room key as a necklace. Don't do that. Using improper maritime grammar. And okay, well, that's just because she works on the boat. And don't risk not returning to the ship on time. Data from 2023 found that a five-night cruise in the Caribbean cost about $740 a person. That's a 43% hike compared to the same time in 2019, as demand for cruise vacations spiked after the pandemic. She counsels against the unlimited drink packages, especially for passengers who plan to leave the ship bars to go ashore for the day, right? If you're going to go whenever you hit the ports, if you're going to go down ashore at all the stops, then buying the unlimited drink package, you're just paying twice because if you're going to go drink on shore. She suggests also if you have to touch any common surfaces like elevator buttons, do it with your elbow or your knuckles. And that's just good advice anyway. I sometimes will touch it with my nose or tongue. Either way, what else here? Not wearing your room key around your neck because it looks pretentious and it's an invitation to be robbed. She also says, use the right language when you are identifying the ships. You don't say the, apparently. So it's called like Discovery Princess, not the Discovery Princess, or I enjoyed seeing a cruising on MS Westerdam. You don't say the MS Westerdam, which, okay, whatever, lady. I'm going to call the boat whatever I want to call the boat, okay? Again, never been on one, so I don't know. Maybe I would have a change of heart if I did a cruise. Speaking about the maritime voyages, there's an Ohio billionaire who is now planning to take a deep sea submersible to Titanic depths to prove that the industry is safer. Not everybody is going to die with an implosion, right? After that OceanGate vessel imploded last year, real estate investor Larry Connor of Dayton, Ohio, said he and Triton Submarines co-founder Patrick Leahy, not the politician, will plunge more than 12,400 feet or 2.3 miles to the shipwreck site in a two-person submersible. Quote, I want to show people worldwide that while the ocean is extremely powerful, it can be wonderful and enjoyable and really kind of life-changing if you go about it the right way. Well, it can also be life-changing if you go about it the wrong way, Connor. Leahy has designed a $20 million vessel called the Triton 4000/2 Abyssal Explorer. It's a terrible name. Note also that it's called the Triton 4000/2 Abyssal Explorer, whatever. It can carry out the voyage repeatedly, he says. Patrick has been thinking about and designing this for over a decade, but we didn't have the materials and the technology. You couldn't have built this sub 5 years ago. The duo said they want to prove that the trek can be done without disaster, despite the implosion of the Titan submersible in June, which killed all five people on board, including the CEO of OceanGate, Stockton Rush. A few days after that tragedy, Larry Connor, the billionaire who's going to build this one, he called up this guy Leahy, Patrick Leahy, and urged him to build a better sub. Right? Which is also, I believe, how Jersey Mike's got started. What we need to do is build a sub that can dive to Titanic level depths repeatedly and safely and demonstrate to the world that you guys can do that and that Titan was just a contraption, he called it. Leahy was among the critics after the implosion, saying, and even before, he accused OceanGate of questionable safety standards, calling Russia's approach, quote, quite predatory. Here's another life hack. You don't need to see the Titanic. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.